Welcome to the Paul Stone Sports Podcast. For over 30 years, Paul Stone has been seriously handicapping college football, college basketball, and PGA Tour golf. Over the past five seasons, spanning almost 600 releases, Paul has hit 55% against the spread in college football, gaining the respect of sports books and bettors throughout the world. He is monitored by highly respected The Sports Monitor of Oklahoma City. Paul has also won two major Las Vegas football handicapping contests and finished in the top four in two others. Each week, Paul will provide exclusive handicapping insights on the podcast. To receive Paul's exact picks each week, you can sign up for member-only access at paulstonesports.org. Now, on to the show.
On last week's episode of the Paul Stone Sports Podcast, I talked about three college football teams, which I believe had been net winners in the offseason to this point, obviously primarily through the transfer portal. With those three teams that I believe to be winners being Mississippi, Ohio State, and Texas. This week, I'm going to discuss three schools which I believe have lost the offseason to this point, teams that needed to, frankly, do more, in my opinion. Hello again, everyone. I'm Paul Stone, and this is episode 140 of the Paul Stone Sports Podcast. And this week's version titled Portal Part 2. Let me begin by saying that one of the teams on today's list is going to be no surprise at all to anyone. A second, in my opinion, also shouldn't be a surprise. The third, however, will likely spark some debate. In fact, some publications, they've placed this school on the portal winners list, but I just don't see it that way. And I'm not going to just go along to get along. I'm going to provide my honest, respectful opinion without being unduly influenced by others' opinions. You know, I'm going to save my going against the grain inclusion for last. So I'll give the first two teams before I give the last. And when I say, I want to point out, when I say portal or off-season winners and losers, you know, the biggest grading point is going to be outgoing players versus incoming players. What is the net effect on a team's power ranking? But in some cases, if this makes sense, I'll certainly consider as well what I believe a team needed to do in the off-season versus what it did. Let's begin now with our three teams, and we're going to start with the low-hanging fruit, that being the Alabama Crimson Tide. You know, to be fair, first of all, under the current rules, any major power who had a generational head coach like Nick Saban, who didn't announce his retirement until January 10th, was going to be on this list. Under current rules, even though the portal was closed at the time of Saban's retirement and remains closed until April, any Alabama player was given 30 days to enter the transfer portal. Alabama, however, as you perhaps have learned, is not permitted to add players at this time. So while they can lose players to the portal for 30 days after Saban's announcement, they cannot add players. They'll only be losing players, and predictably, some of those exiting players are top players. So they're losing players, they're losing top talent without the ability, at the present anyway, to add players. Some of the biggest losses, when you look at players who have entered the transfer portal and chosen other schools, the biggest loss, first of all, and the guy who is universally considered the number one overall player in the entire transfer portal, standout safety Caleb Downs. He's left for Ohio State, and this was after leading Alabama in tackles this past season as a true freshman with 107 tackles, a big-time recruit, a big-time safety, who produced from day one there at Alabama. now a member of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Another player who's left Alabama, five-star offensive tackle Caden Proctor. He departed after just one season in Tuscaloosa, and he's returned to his home state and the University of Iowa. Another wide receiver, Isaiah Bond. He had a team-high 48 catches this past season for 668 yards, and those catches included the dramatic game winner at Auburn in the regular season finale. Bond has left to join Steve Sarkisian at the University of Texas. And then one more we'll touch on as far as the exiting members of the Crimson Tide. Incoming freshman quarterback Julian Sayin, big-time recruit out of the state of California. He had already actually started classes at the University of Alabama the spring semester as an early enrollee, but he has ultimately transferred out, choosing, again, the Ohio State University. So a couple of players lost Ohio State. I'll say this, that once the portal reopens in mid-April, new Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer will almost certainly land some solid players to replace the losses, but the spring portal will likely lack the big names of the earlier portal. You know, the Tide certainly are going to look better on paper come summer after picking up some bodies in the spring portal than they look right now, but they're not going to look that much better. And it's just the way college football is. Has nothing to do with DeBoer necessarily. It's just the way the rules are structured and the transfer portal, the ease of movement in the transfer portal, the players having so much flexibility. And it makes it tough when you have a coaching transition, any coaching transition, but certainly one like this with the uniqueness of Saban's impression on that program, his accomplishments, the fact that many of the players who came to Alabama, frankly, probably came more to play for Nick Saban than they did to play for Alabama, in some cases, to some degree anyway. So certainly this is predictable, but Alabama at this point has to be considered a loser in the offseason battle to this point. Now on to our next team, and I'll say fair or unfair, folksy Arkansas head coach Sam Pittman, clearly on the hot seat entering the 2024 season. It might even be described as white hot by some observers. So I guess, you know, almost predictably again, a situation like this, you can anticipate that there are going to be some roster changes. Most notably, I think, three-year starting quarterback KJ Jefferson. This is a guy who was bruised, beaten, and battered this past season, and at least partially, if not primarily, due to subpar offensive line play. But Jefferson, he has departed Fayetteville for the Sunshine State, where he's going to be Central Florida's presumptive starting quarterback under Gus Malzahn. To replace Jefferson, Pittman turned west, is in the Mountain West, and is bringing in Boise State transfer quarterback Talen Green, who actually is from neighboring Texas, prepped at Lewisville High School in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And I want to say about Talen Green, first of all, I'm impressed with Green's athleticism. He is athletic. He is a runner. He still lacks polish as a passer, but he's a big-time runner, a big-time athlete. I'll also say I'm certainly no KJ Jefferson apologist, but I think this is a loss for the Razorbacks at the quarterback position. I expect a drop-off in 2024 under center for the Hogs. You know, Jefferson, he took much of the blame this past season, but again, that Arkansas offensive line, they were not equipped in any shape, form, or fashion personnel-wise to deal with the biggest and the baddest in the SEC. You look at some other losses personnel-wise for Arkansas through the portal. They lose running back Rocket Sanders. Sanders rushed for 1,443 yards back in 2022 before missing most of this past season due to injuries. Sanders, now a South Carolina Gamecock. There were also significant losses for Arkansas on the defensive side of the ball. Most notably, the Razorbacks' top two tacklers this past season, those being Jaheim Thomas, who had a team-high 90 tackles, and Chris Paul Jr., who had 74 tackles. Those linebackers now on to new schools. Thomas moving on to Wisconsin. Paul moved on to Ole Miss. So again, some quality losses for Arkansas on both sides of the ball. And there are certainly on the other side of the coin some proven performers coming to Fayetteville. I'll start with former Utah tailback Jaquindon Jackson. He's a converted quarterback who's rushed for a total of almost 1,300 yards over the past two seasons. He should be productive for the Razorbacks at running back. Also, San Jose State's Fernando Carmona Jr., he should step right in at left tackle after being a two-year starter for the Spartans. But again, when I do an overall assessment of each team, who's coming and who's going, I just see more being lost than being gained this offseason in Fayetteville. Looking at Pittman's first four seasons as the Hogs head coach, Arkansas just 11-23 in SEC play. I believe the Hogs have failed this offseason to upgrade via the portal, so I'm not expecting anything different from Pittman and the Razorbacks in year five. I like Sam Pittman. He's a good man. I hope he can rebound. He's good for college football. I like his enthusiasm. I like his personality. Stays on the lake a lot and drinks some beer, which I like to do those things too. So I hope Sam Pittman makes it, but I fear that the Razorbacks going to have another down year. I deem them again a loser in the offseason portal battle. All right, I'm going to do a quick little promotion here. And on my last week's podcast, I mentioned that Paul Stone Sports was on a downturn in college hoops, a cold streak, to say the least. And I said on last week's podcast, might this be the time to join Paul Stone Sports for the remainder of the 2023-24 college basketball season? Well, I certainly couldn't guarantee what was about to come, but those words did, in this case anyway, turn out to be somewhat prophetic. I went 7-0 against the spread this past Saturday, January 27th. Four of those releases on betting underdogs, which actually won the game outright. And since I choose to be monitored by the Independent, the Sports Monitor of Oklahoma City, you can go to their easy-to-use website, www.thesportsmonitor.com, and see those seven releases, the very games that I released to clients this past Saturday, January 27th. In fact, you go to their website, you can see all of my past releases in college basketball and college football. It's that transparent. I choose to be monitored independently by the Sports Monitor of Oklahoma City. Since this past Saturday in college basketball, Paul Stone Sports now 12-3 against the spread over my last 15 releases. You can currently receive all of my college basketball official selections through the national championship game in April for just $219. If interested, please visit paulstonesports.org. I anticipate it could change because things do change, but I anticipate having at least seven releases this Saturday, February 3rd. As I record, it is 3:45 p.m. on Thursday, February 1st, just as a point of reference. Again, if interested in joining me for college basketball or any of my other packages, including the 2024 college football package, please visit paulstonesports.org. Now to the team that many will have ranked high in their transfer portal rankings, but I'm not so convinced. Due to a coaching change and the overall state of the program, this school was certain to add a lot of players in the offseason and lose a lot of players in the offseason through the portal. So again, it comes down to that overall net effect. And while the raw numbers are high, the number of players that they took in, some estimates, I think, say that this school has taken in 23 new players through the portal. The question begs, just how good are the incoming players? This school, in my home state of Texas, I have friends with close ties and allegiances to this fine institution, but I cannot tell a lie. In my opinion, 24/7 Sports missed the boat by ranking Texas A&M number 2 behind only Ole Miss in its team transfer portal rankings. And again, sure, you know, Texas A&M has added more than 20 new players through the portal, but I just don't see enough quality additions to believe that the Aggies are going to be significantly better this season than any of the past three additions in College Station. And over those past 3 years, of course, the Aggies have gone 10-14 in SEC play. You know, first of all, I want to start out with the good. They've added 23 players, so there's obviously some good players in there. And there's some guys that I maybe am not expecting a great deal from who are certainly going to be productive as well. But we're going to start with the good, really the best in my opinion, and that's Purdue edge rusher linebacker Nick Skowerton. He's actually a hometown guy from Bryan, Texas. He had 15 tackles for loss, 10 sacks this past season as a true sophomore for the Purdue Boilermakers. When he went into the transfer portal, Skowerton, he was sought after by basically maybe not every major college program, but certainly many of the major powers inquired about Nick Skowerton. I'm sure he quickly chose the Aggies. He's an impact player. You know, there's no question about it. He's going to contend for all SEC honors from the opening bell. He's a dude. He's a player. And I think he will make his presence felt there in College Station. But outside of Skowerton, who are the incoming difference makers for the Aggies, if you will? And to backtrack a little bit, Skowerton ranked by 24/7 Sports as the number 14 individual player, overall player in the transfer portal. So asking again about who are the difference makers besides Skowerton for the Aggies? Former Alabama cornerback Dez Ricks, first of all, he is the only other Aggie pickup through the portal ranked among 24/7's top 70 portal transfers. Ricks, he's listed number 19. He's a guy, again, who was a big-time recruit. He didn't play at Alabama this last year as a true freshman. He actually redshirted. But he and Skowerton, the only two Aggie transfers listed among 24/7's top 70 portal transfers. You look at the, just in general, you look at A&M's incoming 20-plus players. Many of those portal pickups, they were either, one, non-standout starters at Power 5 schools, or two, they made their hay and made their name by putting up numbers at Group of 5 schools. And guys and gals, some of these Group of 5 newcomers will perform admirably for the Aggies. They will be players. They will be starters. But I just personally believe they're counting on, relying on, hoping for big things out of too many of these types of guys. I certainly realize and understand that Mike Elko, the first-year head coach, he deserves time. He will need time to build his program there in College Station. But as others, you know, are saying that the Aggies hit it big in the portal, I just don't see it. You know, clearly, I'll say this, and although some might disagree, but clearly in my mind, there were culture issues inside the A&M football program under former head coach Jimbo Fisher. No question about it. And talent, it isn't the only thing, but it's a big thing. And you look at the players that A&M lost. I mean, they've lost 5-star talents like defensive end Walter Nolan, wide receiver Evan Stewart, defensive end LT Overton, big time recruits. They've lost other proven performers such as Fadil Diggs. So there's a lot of big names that have gone out the door, and frankly, I don't think they've been replaced with like talented players. Again, the Aggies, in my mind, needed to do more. So I am right now labeling Texas A&M as a loser in the offseason portal game to this point. I'm going to close with a complimentary selection this weekend in college basketball. Again, I'm recording on Thursday, February 1st, shortly before 4 p.m. Central at this point. I'm going to go to a game that will be played Saturday, February 3rd. Line's not yet available on this game, so I'm going to project the line. This is a game in the American Athletic Conference. Rice traveling to Texas San Antonio. Rice, first of all, are coming off of a huge win. A game played last night as I record. The game played Wednesday, January 31st at Memphis. They go into the University of Memphis as a 14.5-point road underdog, and they win that game outright, 74-71 over the Tigers. Now, on Saturday, they travel to San Antonio to play the Texas San Antonio Roadrunners. And while the Roadrunners have not been world beaters for most of the season this year, they are getting better. And they have an intriguing player, a guy to keep an eye on, who has shown glimpses of what he might become. And that's a guy from, actually, the city of San Antonio, 7-foot center Carlton Lingard Jr. He had a couple of weeks ago in a victory over Tulane, an 89-88 home victory over Tulane. Lingard, again, who is 7 foot tall, he had 31 points against Tulane, and that included 6 of 10 from three-point territory. So you got a 7-foot guy sitting out there stroking three-pointers who can also go to the basket. He has been, inconsistent, to be fair, but he's a diamond in the rough for the Roadrunners. This game, I saw KenPom, who many of you might use, had Rice listed, or has them listed currently, as a 1-point favorite. I think the game's going to be pick or Texas San Antonio, maybe -1 or -1.5. But in any case, I love Texas San Antonio in this spot. I love the way they're improving. Rice coming off a huge victory at Memphis. Take Texas San Antonio, whether they're +1 pick or giving a point or a point and a half, whatever they're giving, or getting a small number between the twos. Take Texas San Antonio over Rice Saturday in San Antonio. Well, that does it, folks, for another edition of the Paul Stone Sports Podcast. And hope you're enjoying college basketball and not having too severe withdrawals from the lack of college football. But until next time, signing off. Once again, I'm Paul Stone.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Stone Sports Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. And visit paulstonesports.org to sign up for member-only access to Paul's college football, college basketball, and PGA Tour golf picks and predictions.